Okay, we're on Perek Chaf Hey. We're gonna finish the Perek today. It's actually the fifth week discussing this. We're up to page 168 in our packet. We're up to Pasuk Lamed Bet. Last week, a lot of people were on a. Last Monday, we did have a class. Absolutely. A lot of people went to a rally, and exactly. So last week, what ended up happening was Abigail, who was the is currently the wife of Naval. Naval, who a very wealthy individual, gave absolutely nothing to David, even though he's starving to death. David felt that he was more of a malchus, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, because not only that he didn't give David any food, someone who was destined to be the next king, was already anointed as to be the next king, but he also spoke to him in a very derogatory manner, calling him basically a nobody, because Nabal felt that he was going to be the successor, the one who would take the position of king over the Jewish people after Shaul would finish his reign. So he felt he was more of a malchus, who went to chase after him. Abigail, who heard about this, that her husband gave him absolutely nothing and mistreated him, she met David on the way, chanced upon him on the way, not before providing a lot of food, bread, drinks for him, in which we're going to see that he will have received it. We'll see that today when we get into the Pesukim, get on Lamed Bet. And ultimately, we end off as Zecharta Samosecha. Please remember your maidservant. We brought down a very interesting Gemara in Megillah that said that what ended up happening was Abigail was, as the expression goes, as a woman, is spitting, she can also talk, which means she's a multitasker. That Abigail realized that the end of her current husband being alive was only a matter of days. He was going to die. She encouraged David not to be the instrument to have him killed, but he was going to be punished by Hashem, as we'll see later on in this chapter. And she wasn't, we did learn that yet last week, that she was one of the seven prophetesses. That's one of the things that we spoke about last week. But so she did know that her husband was going to die. In fact, it's brought down clearly on page 166 in the Rashi, on Pasuk Lamed Chafav, rather, the Rashi, which is Yu Kinevel Oyvecha. And Rashi over there says that she had a prophecy, Shlo Yarech Yamim, that he was not going to live long. What exactly that means, did she know he was going to die tomorrow, or a week from now, a month from now, that's not clear. But certainly she knew that her husband was not going to live long. V'zachartas amosecha. Ultimately, Abigail was saying, after my husband dies, I'm available, so you can marry me. All right. And some felt, as we discussed, that might have been a little bit too forward of her to speak in such a manner. With that said, we can maybe now understand the next pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Bet. The Yomer David l'Abigail. So David said to Abigail, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Shalachich Hayom Hazeh L'Krasi. So David said to Abigail, blessed is Hashem that He sent you today to greet me, in order to stop me from killing your husband. I'm very fortunate that I was able to come across you on the road. We're going to see one more pasuk, and then we're going to notice Abigail's misspelled name. Baruch Tameich Uvruch At. Blessed is your reasoning, and you are blessed. Asher kilisini hayom hazeh mevo badamim. Kilisini Mesudas Sion says, minato, see that you have withheld me, you've caused me to withhold myself this day from spilling damim, bloods, bohoshe yadili. And I was saved from myself. You caused me to save myself from having done such a crime of murder. I would have murdered your husband. He didn't deserve to die. So why was the brucha baruch tameich? Her reasoning was logical. So we brought down a couple weeks ago that the Gemara said that she walked up to him and asked him a question, which was an unusual question. She asked him a question based on the pasuk, the beseser ha'har. Pasuk Chaf said a private matter. She met him literally privately on the mountain, asking a private question, whether or not she, upon showing Dom, whether she was Tamei or Tahar. And he said, what are you doing? It's nighttime. You can't ask such a question. At night, such halakhic questions cannot be answered. So Abigail looked at Dov and said, true. Just like you are not able to answer such a question, you can also not paskin that my husband deserves to be killed at nights. A beis din can only serve during the day. And it's the middle of the night right now. You have no right to do such a thing. Right? We know, when we mentioned before, we know 100% it was the nighttime based on the psukim before. Because he said, when the morning comes, everyone's going to be destroyed. So it was definitely the night. So he said, one second, because Mord B'malchus. And Mord B'malchus, a king can just kill you. He doesn't have to take you to all this fanfare of putting you into a court, finding out witnesses who were warned. Kill you, period. And then she said, if in fact you were Mord B'malchus, you deserve to die. You'll be killed.
But anybody can kill you, or does it have to be...
The king's order can, you know, you could be the messenger to do whatever the king said, which, that's what Shaul felt. Shaul felt that Dov was Mord B'malchus, which was...
But Shaul is clearly king.
Correct. Well, so that's what she said. Exactly, and that's how Abigail responds. She said, well, that's true, but you're not a king yet. When you're king, that rule would apply. You're not the king yet, so therefore you have no right to kill my husband. And therefore, on that, the Gemara said, quoting this pasuk we just read, Baruch Tameich, your reasoning is blessed. You have a very good reasoning. Very good what you said. The question is, why does it say bedamim, damim plural over here? That you saved me from bloods, two crimes. So one crime was Nava. There was another crime, which was the potential taking a woman who was married. Because David saw, Ruach HaKodesh, that ultimately he was going to be married to Abigail. So therefore he thought, the time was right now. I'm supposed to take her right now. In fact, it's possible, as he thought, if in fact he's Mord B'malchus, as we'll see in the very last pasuk in this parak, it's like the man is dead already. He's walking around, but he's like, he's dead. He has a pulse, he has a heartbeat, but he's dead, halakhically. Right, exactly. Dead man walking. So therefore, because of that, you're allowed to marry that woman. You're allowed to marry that wife. And then we're going to see that's exactly what Shaul does in the very last pasuk in this parak, that he gives David's wife to another man, even though David's still alive. Because Shaul felt that David was Mord B'malchus. So this is how David may have thought. And she said, absolutely not. Again, it's not the time yet. There will be a time. It will happen, but it's not yet. However, some say that when Abigail spoke to him, it was done in a very flirtatious manner. Right? And the Gemara actually alludes to that, that she revealed part of her leg, which is normally covered, and that might have enticed David to have acted in such a way. And because of this, some say that's the reason why Abigail's name is missing, right? Missing a yud. And some say specifically, appropriate this week's parshan, the Eschanan, is the Aseres Hadibros, that the yud represents the Aseres Hadibros, that there was something lacking, one of the Ten Commandments, a little sinof, right, about being married to someone else who's already married, committing adultery. So therefore, that letter is missing because of this conversation about what ultimately almost happened. And therefore, that's alluding to it by removing it from her name, that there was this aspect missing. Now, even though she was really the one that stopped David from committing adultery, But nonetheless, because she was involved in this whole incident, it's alluded to in her name. So that's how some people explain the various psukim. Okay. Let's move on to the next pasuk, to Lamed Dal. All right. Pasuk says, V'ulam chai Hashem Elkei Yisrael Hashem Inani Mehara Osach. Another fascinating thing that we have in the other psukim, which we just saw, is the order. That when it came to David showing his appreciation, he was very careful that the first thing he said was Baruch Hashem Elkei Yisrael. And then afterwards he said Baruch At. He made sure to put things in priority, that he first thanked Hashem, and then only afterwards he thanked her. Okay, let's continue the next pasuk. Okay, Be'ulam Chai Hashem Elkei Yisrael Hashem Inani Mehara Osach. And blessed, again, is Hashem. Thank God that I was withheld myself from this evil upon you, that I could have done evil to you. Why? Ki lule miharta v'tavot l'karati, because if you did not come quickly, as you did, to greet me upon the way, as I was there with swords in hand with a huge army, ki im noso anavel ad or haboker mashten bekir, there would not have remained among Nabal or anyone around him, nothing, not a single person. Mashin Bekir, we said, could allude to a dog. Any person, everyone would have been completely wiped off the face of the earth. And some of the Mefarshim asked, it doesn't seem very, very fair. Okay, Nabal was Mordechai Malchus, so what did everyone else do? What did they do that was so wrong? So some explain the same way of the city of Shechem. The city of Shechem, Dina was taken by Shechem, right? Not very original, that was the name of the city too. And two of her brothers came to the rescue and wiped out the entire city. So a lot of Mefarshim asked, okay, Shechem, kidnapping, capital offense, he deserved to die. How about the rest of the city? So they answer that just when everyone else is sitting there, knowing that this person committed a crime, and you didn't do anything about it, you're supposed to take him to court. And the fact that you didn't take him to court, that's also considered to be, you know, you're responsible. You're obligated to speak up. Similarly, as we're moments from Tisha B'Av, as we've discussed many times, the true people that made the biggest mistake in the story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa were the Rabbana. That they were sitting there, and they watched everything unfold, that this guy was yelling at this poor guy who got a wrong invitation, and all of a sudden he's humiliated. So he wasn't upset at the Baal HaBos, he was upset at the Baal HaBos. But he was more upset at the Rabbanan. They sat there, did absolutely nothing. They're held just as responsible. So some of Farshim explain that when David sent his servants to Nabal, and Nabal said no, it wasn't just Nabal wasn't there by himself. It's true Abigail didn't hear this, but there were many, many other people that were there. And they had the ability to speak up. True, maybe their lives would have been in danger by speaking up. But the reality is that they knew that everyone knew that David was going to be the next king. And that Nabal's words were saying, he was saying something which was rebellious against the future king. And by you not speaking up about being someone who's being Mordechai B'Malchus, some say that in fact you're also held accountable. That's how some people explain that he might have actually killed everyone. That's one simple explanation, that it must be because otherwise they didn't deserve it. So the answer is they must have deserved it because they should have spoken up. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Lamed Hey. Vayikach David miyada. Vayikach David miyada es asher hevielo. The law Amar Eli L'Sholm Aveisich Rei Shemati B'Koylech V'Esaponoyich. So David took from her everything that was brought, right? Because we said that she gave all this, all the food and all the drinks. Even though it's interesting, we said that she sent it before. For some reason, now we see that it's being given to him. The law Amar Eli L'Sholm, and he said to her, "You should go in peace to your home." that I've listened. You can see that I've listened to your voice, Nesaponoich, and I will show you grace. I will show you favor.
It's the same phrase as the Lord of the Sarah, basically. Shema Bekola.
So this is he was very fortunate, very thankful of all the advice and the food, and therefore because of this, I'm not going to kill your husband. So it's terrific. But Tabo Abigail El Nabal. So now Abigail goes to her husband. Hine lo mishne v'veso k'mishne hamelech. Interesting language. He had a party in his house. K'mishne hamelech, just like the party of a king. Again, some people explain, no coincidence, why was it K'mishne hamelech? Because he felt, I'm going to be the next king, or I am the king. Shol is basically, whatever, I'm the king. V'lev Nabal tov alav. Nabal's heart was, he was feeling pretty good. Why was he feeling so good? V'hu shikur ad od. He was completely, he was bombed, as they say. Right? He was... exactly. Very, very close. Very, very similar. So he was so drunk, and some people actually say, if he was so cheap, such a cheapskate, he wouldn't give David anything. So how can he throw a huge party, right? So one answer is, well, maybe that's why he was drunk, right? He didn't realize people were spending all the, you know, billing everything on his credit card. He was drunk, so he didn't realize it. But the reality is that, of course, there's a difference between someone who is cheap as far as giving something to you. I wouldn't give you a penny. For myself, I'll blow it, I'll waste it, I'll have these huge wasted parties. That I have no problem with, because it's K'mishne Melech, it's for my honor. I'm showing off. Look how wealthy I am. So I'm impressing everyone with my wealth. Without Cheshverosh coming back again? Go ahead.
You said Kitomi Bovayayim, he was nice. But this guy,
Shikor.
He's Shikor, even though he's Shikor, his name is not Tov Bayayim. According to what's coming up, you know, but his name was not Tov Bayayim.
Alcohol, the wine didn't agree with him?
No,
but wait a minute, but I said Lev Tov. So you're saying he wasn't? He didn't have a Lev Tov?
What's following, you see,
the
he does not have a
left. The next, yeah, we'll see. But that's because at this point, v'l'higidolo davar katon v'gadol ad or haboker. Well, he was completely drunk. Maybe that was the best time to tell him all this news, you know, great news. Okay, you wasted billions of dollars. I took a couple hundred bucks and I gave it to this guy, David, who was going to, you would have been as good as dead. David was definitely going to kill you. There's no way you could defeat David. He's the most powerful man, could defeat a huge giant. So, but nonetheless, she didn't say anything. Not a davar katan v'gadol. Didn't give even the slightest indication. Not even a hint. Nothing was said to him at that time until the morning. Okay. So, what happened afterwards? Pasuk lamed zayin. Vayehi b'boker, in the morning comes. Maybe he's a shtickle hungover. B'seis hayayin menaval. The wine went out from Naval. Doesn't say how it left him. B'tagin lo ishto es devarim eila. So his wife sat down and said, you know, I have some news to tell you. David was going to kill us, and I saved the day. And by the way, all I had to do was give a couple hundred bucks, a couple of pieces of food, some drinks to him, and he was completely satisfied with that. He must be so happy. But Yamas Libo Bekirbo Bahayul Ovin. So Nabal's heart died within him. It became like a rock. He became completely shocked. Exactly. Why was he shocked? So maybe on the surface one would look at it and say he was so shocked that he was moments from death. And how fortunate he was to have such a terrific wife that saved his life. But we see in Rashi that's not exactly the reason that he was so shocked. Says Pasuk, Rashi in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, "Biyomos libo shenitzta'er al hamincha shehovas l'David." that he was upset. I can't believe you wasted that $200, that couple dollars, that food. I can't believe you gave it to him. So on one hand, he was willing to have a huge party commissioning HaMelech. Yet on the other hand, to give a couple scraps, some leftovers, that devastated him so much that he basically became, he passed out to the point that he almost died right on the spot. Pasuk HaMelech says it was approximately around 10 days. And 10 days later, Hashem caused an affliction, smote Naval, he died. So it took him about 10 good days for this to happen, but after those 10 days had come and gone, that's when he died. The question is, why 10 days? If in fact he deserved to die, die! Hashem is the one who caused him to die. It says clearly, right? It wasn't someone else. We didn't have to wait for another army to come, some battle that he would lose and be defeated in the battle. No. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that killed him. So if that's the case, then why did we have to wait Kaseres Yamim? Very interesting answers that Rashi provides here. I believe there's three found over here. Rashi says like this. Kaseres Yamim. Shivas Yimei Avelo Shel Shmuel Ta'olo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shelo Yisarev Avel Rasha Bevu V'yachaka Cholach Shloish Yamim V'yamim. Apparently, 3 days it takes from the time when Hashem's going to kill a person, Bidi Shemayim, it takes an affliction, takes a few days. So let it be 3 days. Why the extra 7 days? So Rashi says, because we have to remember the beginning words of this parak. The beginning words of this parak talk about the death. Shmuel. Shmuel just died. Shmuel the Tzaddik. Shmuel the Navi. So there's everyone in Avelus mourning over the loss of a Tzaddik. So if it would be a couple moments later, which is interesting, it's questionable whether or not, it certainly wasn't the same day that all this happened. It doesn't seem that was the case, especially that they were all the way up top, as you see on the map, and then David went all the way down to Naval, sent messengers, messengers came back, now he assembles his army, and he goes over there at night. It's questionable that that's all the same day, so why is it 7 days? But the idea of Shiva certainly sticks as a point that we wouldn't want it to overlap at all. Because otherwise people would see people in sackcloth, people would see people mourning, sitting on low chairs, and they say, oh, why are they in mourning? Terrible, tragic loss of the great wealthy man, Naval. So Hashem said, I do not want anyone to even have the slightest indication to think for a second that anyone is mourning the loss of anyone but the Tzaddik Shmuel and not Naval. So therefore, he deliberately postponed his death in order that the Avelus should be afterwards.
You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
When Princess Diana died, Mother Teresa died at the same time. And Mother Teresa got very little press compared to Diana. Do you remember that? It was the same thing, maybe a day apart.
Really?
She was pretty still because...
I mean, that was the question that she asked.
Now she's okay. Now she'll be okay.
Oh.
What was your question there?
Because of Shiva.
So she needs
we're gonna see it's more than.
We're gonna
see that it's more than 7 days that he waits to marry Abigail. So we'll see eventually. Let's try to get through this parak. So let's continue in Rashi. Yom Amar. A second explanation. Chol shloshi yom lemeis died for 3. He was sick for 3 days and he died. Zuhi misas magefa, this is a plague. Okay, Rabbi Seinu Amru. Our sages tell us in Rosh Hashanah, Elu aseres yimei tshuva. The 10 days correspond to the aseres yimei tshuva. Interesting. And which right. Shehimtin l'kadosh baruch hu, shiachsa b'tshuva. Maybe he'll change. And It's brought down. The Radak asks the question: how could he do tshuva? He's basically, you know, he's in a coma. So it seems like, but a person still can have a machshava of tshuva, and that a thought, even if a person is physically unable to move, can't even get a reaction from that individual, that person still has the ability to change his status of being a rasha to a tzaddik. And therefore, that kind of leads into the whole euthanasia thing. You cannot put a price or a value on human life. That
he's
a person,
white stone. He cannot change.
But still, maybe we'll give him. Shem's still giving that opportunity.
No, but maybe that doesn't mean the heart is
stone.
His body is
Right.
Well, ovens. It doesn't say that his heart was
no,
stuck.
Exactly.
He became
stiff.
Right. Basically, he was
right.
Lost
and
ability to move physically.
It could be two things. It could be that he's so stubborn that he's
right.
That's a butt.
He didn't want to choose. Well,
right. But Hashem still, according to this explanation, gave him the opportunity to do tshuva, and the tshuva could, even if he couldn't speak or show it in his mind. V'yesh, of course, he didn't because he died thereafter. V'yesh omrim, and by the way, if it's a seres mitzvah, we mentioned before that when it was this question if it was Shavuos or Rosh Hashanah, because when he sent messengers, he kept saying, Shalom, you should come in peace, go in peace. So some say that that was Rosh Hashanah, in which a person gives various brachos to a person. So therefore, we see again this connection that it might have been Rosh Hashanah. It might not have been, we said, because of the time, the agricultural season. The Yishomim, some say in Rashi, Keneged Eser Ligimos Shenosan Nabal Abdi David Shesholach Lo David Asara Ne'orim V'achilun. It says that even though we don't find this in the Pesukim, Nabal did give two David servants a tiny amount of liquid to drink. He gave him a little bit of water. And the schus of giving this measure called 10 legumes, whatever that measurement is, of it's a liquid measurement, that was that 10 ounces, if you want to call it that, of water that he provided for these people to travel back to Dublin, that was enough for him to survive another 10 days. So we see the tremendous schus a person does. The smallest amount of chesed, we don't realize how far that can go. A person doing the smallest little mitzvah, even maybe with the wrong intentions, still we can be rewarded with a richas yamin, with long days. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Lamed Tes says as follows: V'yishma David ki meis Nabal. So David heard that Nabal died, and obviously David's not going to be all that upset about it. He wants to kill himself. Yomer Baruch Hashem, right? That's usually a reaction when you hear someone died, right? Baruch Hashem. Asher Rav, Asher Riv, Cher Pasi, Miad Nabal. Thank God that Hashem intervened in taking away this my humiliation by removing Nabal. Miad Nabal. Yes, Avdo Chosach Miro. And also, his servant, referring to self, I was, as Mr. Sion Mon, I was refrained from doing evil by killing, yes, Ras Nabal, Heshim Hashem Barosha. So what ended up happening? Instead of myself having to kill him, Hashem was the one that took his head. The Yishlach David V'Yidaber B'Avigail L'Kachtol Isha. So as soon as he found out this wonderful news, he immediately went to Abigail to take her as a wife. Okay. And as we turn to the next page, Pasuk Mem, you can actually see on the bottom. Well, let's read Pasuk Mem, then we'll read the English on the bottom, page 170. V'yavo Abi David el Abigail HaKarmela. So he went to they went to Abigail. V'yadabar eleha lemor, and they said to her, David shalachnu ilayich l'kachtech l'isha. David has sent us so that you should be taken as a wife. Which seems like it was instantaneous. The moment that Nabal died, immediately afterwards, he was married. But interesting, it says l'kachtech lo l'isha, to take to him, to a wife. The word lo seems to be extra, lokachto lo isha. It's interesting, those three last words in Pasuk Mem has the same prefix, lamed, 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 right? Three lamids. And we know lamid has the gematria, the numerical value of 30. So why does it have to say lo kach, the lo isha? And why do we have this extra word lo in there? Maybe it's coming to allude to what it says on the bottom of page 170. It says over here, according to the Mamloes, there is a medrash that although David sent agents to ask Abigail to marry him, and she consented, the marriage did not take place until 3 months after Nabal's death, as the halacha requires when a widow or a divorcee remarries. The delay is to be sure that she is not pregnant from her first husband. In fact, it's brought down in the Medrash Tanchuma that the late sonim of the generation, those scoffers upon Abigail's conceiving and having a child, everyone said, you know whose child that is? It's Nabal's. That's not from David. And this is the second child. We're going to learn more about him in Shmuel Bet. We don't see him being born anywhere near. But nonetheless, there's no coincidence, the Mefarshim explain, the choice of the name that David gives, David and Abigail give their son. And his name is Kilov. That's going to be David's second child, Kilov, which if you listen to the name Kilov, it means Kulo'av. This is the father, Kulo'av. This is the father. That anyone who will see this child will know that in fact who the real father is. Why? Because just like what happened in the days of our Avos, also Hashem did a miracle. Hashem caused that this child would look exactly like David. That David looked exactly like his son Kilov, and therefore anyone who looks at this child standing next to David will say, this is the father. That is the Av. This is the true father. So that's how some of the Mefarshim explain. Let's move on. We can finish the parak, then we'll stop. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Atakam. So she heard this terrific news. Not that her husband died. She didn't seem to care too much about that, but that she's going to be marrying David. So she got up and then bowed down in front of David on the ground. V'tomer, and she said, well,
I thought that he sent servants.
Sent servants, which apparently what means is that she, maybe she wasn't in front of David at that time, you're saying. It's possible. What?
Probably she wasn't.
Yeah, it's maybe right. So this was her immediate reaction. But Tomer, she said, "Hine amosecha l'shivcha lirchot ragle avde Adoni." She was so humble that she said, "It's my honor even to just wash the feet of my master." That's how she spoke of David. In other words, she certainly was willing to accept her role of being David's wife. But to Maher, so that's exactly the case. She was not in front of him. You're absolutely right. Because now we see that clearly in the next passage. But to Maher, but talk of Abigail. So Abigail, who always represents doing things with zeal and quickness, got up. But Tirkav al Chamor, and she's riding on a donkey. She didn't go by herself. She had a few people with her. She went after David's servants to become his wife. Es Achinoam lekach David miIsrael. His other wife that David took, v'tanagam shtehim lelunashim, was Achinoam. We're going to end up again seeing Shmuel Bet that Achinoam and David will be the woman who will give birth to David's first child, and then the second child of David will end up being from Abigail. What? Oh, let's see what happened to Michal in this last pasuk. Bishal. So what happened to Michal? So the pasuk tells us this. It's interesting how there's a little break over here because you would almost think that's in the next parak, but it's not. Bishal nasan es Michal bito eishes David lepalti ben Laish Asher Migali. that Shaul took Michal, who was really David's wife, and he gave her to a man by the name of Balti ben Laish, which, as we mentioned before, Shaul gave the impression that David was dead man walking, and therefore he is not really married to Michal. Michal is a widow, even though David is alive and well, walking around.
Making babies.
Pretty much, right, exactly. Getting married. Nonetheless, he's more of a malchus. More of a malchus, you're not married. You're dead, and therefore he was allowed to give her over to another man, and that's not an issue. It's not Ashes Ish or anything at all. Now, some people say, well, so what's the story of this guy, Palti ben Laish? Palti ben Laish, well, he must have been a Russian. I mean, David Amelach, David, who this is his wife. Why would he agree to such a thing? Maybe he had no choice.
Maybe he didn't agree.
He might not have agreed, but he may not have had a choice. Exactly. But if we look on the bottom of page 171, we see that this guy was an incredible tzaddik. An incredible tzaddik. It says, Palti ben Laish disagreed with Shaul that he was married by Malchus and that he was allowed to marry her. For whatever reason, he didn't defy Shaul, but although he and Michal went through a marriage ceremony, they did not live together as man and wife. The sages portray Palti as an individual, says self-restraint, and he actually says this words that any person, he placed a sword between himself and Michal as a reminder that it would be a sin for him and his not real wife to have marital relations. And some say that's the word paltiel. Paltiel, paltu ke, that Hashem saved or helped him
escape
from sin. And therefore, that's the greatness of this individual, that particular individual, that even though he was given this wife, he didn't agree with it. And because of this, he refused to actually take her as a wife. But nonetheless, that's the reason why the Pesukim perhaps break this up, because we see that Michal was broken up from David, and therefore the Pesukim also break it up as well, which concludes Parashat.